Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Charmaine Show on Blog Talk Radio. This is your host, Charmaine, broadcasting from the comfort of home, yes. And my view is amazing. The sky is blue, the leaves are budding, the birds are flying around and chirping, and it's a gorgeous Easter Sunday 2021, yes. I am excited. Somehow I think I'm always excited. I'm excited when I get on air, right? And when I can air my opinion and when I can talk about things that really matter to me personally. And because it does, sometimes I think it may matter to other people. So today on the Charmaine Show, I'm going to talk a little bit about work-life balance and gender differences. And clearly, that alone makes you stop in your tracks and think, yep, that is true. And we can immediately think about so many disparities and differences when it comes to work-life balance and gender, right? Because we all know that when women strive to achieve success, oftentimes we're reminded that, listen, if you want to balance, there's a price to be paid, right? Which means that you are, as a woman, technically sacrificing the things that matter to you, the people that matter to you, the lifestyle that's important to you, and the personal experiences that are important to you. And a lot of times when we think about work-life balance, clearly, it is very different for men than it is for women most of the time, right? And I'm saying in general because not every woman is career focused and climbing the corporate ladder and vice versa, for men. Same goes for not every woman is raising a family or wants to raise a family, et cetera. But there are other things that come into play, right? Because we do have other relationships in our lives. So, again, welcome to the Charmaine Show on Blog Talk Radio. This is your host, Charmaine. Could I just banter a little bit about the double standard of work-life balance? And we know that traditionally men, right, are looked at as being the main providers in our family. They are the stronghold, the protectors, and spend more of their time working. I say traditionally because I think in every culture there is to a degree of the societal expectation and responsibility that falls on men. From they are young boys, regardless of what culture, you're kind of taught in specific ways that you have to be the man now and, you know, dad's not here or whatever it is that they have to take on that role because it is a male role, right, to protect. It is just the species. And we can't negate that fact that men, regardless of what society puts on them as expectation, it just goes with the territory. So I think sometimes women, we can't want to change men, but what we can want is to have more of a balanced playing field when it comes to what's divvied out to men in the workplace. And what's divvied out to women in the workplace, right? And we could go all over the place with this, but I won't. And that's why I'm doing a show a few times a couple of times a week on work-life balance, because I want to hone into what that looks like. I think it's an everlasting topic that people look at, both men and women. How do I gain this, right? So because men are commonly referred to as good providers, when we sum up their net worth, sometimes women tend to be praised for being a good wife and a good mother, right? And we don't necessarily automatically refer to women as good providers. And so therefore, in my opinion, I think when it comes to leveling the playing field in the corporate world, and I'm speaking on a career level right now, right, is that women, they don't need as much. They, you know, we don't need to give them so much time. We don't need to give them so much raise. I mean, after all, they're not the good providers. The men are the good providers. And so we find that disparity, even with our pay scale, there's a difference with women getting the same pay scale or pay grade as a man in the same title position. I feel like now organizations are beginning to take a look at that, because women have been ringing the bell, raising the flag, jumping up and down, as we would say. That's what women do, jump up and down and scream. And so we're taking a look at that. But it really is literally almost breaking down or trying to break down stereotypes and what that looks like, right? So the price of success that women can often pay when they strive to move ahead in the corporate world, to be the good providers for themselves, their families, their lifestyle, their children, because there are a lot of women in the workforce that are sole providers and or that are part providers in their family. In order to create that balance, both spouses figure they both need to work so that their income together can sustain a family and that they can balance out in that way. So the price of success a lot of times for women can come with the expense of time with their spouse. I'm going to sit there for a minute. Time with your spouse and the expense of your relationship, and even finding that balance in your relationship, is one expense that we women can tend to pay. Number one, if they are an equally good provider, or if they are a bigger financial provider to the family, that can cause some conflict. So that's a price of success if women are trying to assert themselves in the workplace, where they move along the corporate ladder and their financial worth starts to grow. Along with that is the expense of your children and your family. Because the more you desire that corporate balance, right, and to be the good provider, you have to find that balance. And where does that come in? So I want to take it right back to work-life balance and gender differences. The question I would ask is, do you think that both men and women in similar positions have the same struggles internally or even at work when it comes to the price they have to pay, right? So a lot of times, because of that, the way that women are sometimes looked at in the workplace, number one, a lot of times we're looked at as the weaker person. And once you assert yourself, I'm not talking about in an aggressive kind of personality kind of way, but it is, hey, I'm over here. I've got this degree. I've been doing this job for such and such years. I have this experience. I need this position. I am well qualified for this position, and this position can afford me more financial freedom, but also more time with the people that I love and the things that I enjoy doing. There are more men on the golf course than there are women, which, speaking of which, I actually spoke to someone the other day and said, hey, listen, I've got to go out golfing with you. I took some lessons, but, you know, I really need to get on out there and be an expert at this. So with that being said, I believe I'm going to put it on my late summer, early fall thing to do list, right? Another thing for me to balance, but I digress, right? So when a man has it all, it's a noble thing, you know? It's a noble thing when he rolls up at work, he's got his shirt and tie and suit on or whatever it is, you know, could be dressed down, millionaire, whatever it is. But women, when they're doing too much or spending more time at work because they have to vie for that, they're questioned about what they value in life and about their priorities, right? And even if they're committed to work and trying to balance life, it's also a penalty to be paid. And women sometimes feel guilty when they need to dedicate time at work and time at home. They also feel guilty that they're not doing enough in either places. So you see how the psychology of the gender plays into, number one, societal expectation, but also just an internal personal expectation of yourself as a female, as a woman, and in a lot of cases as a mother, a working mom, right? So we know just off the bat that, just as I said earlier in the show, just biologically, naturally, just the laws of nature and how society has come in to nurture that, right? Preparing young men, young boys for adulthood as leaders rather than girls. It is traditional in every single culture. You give girls dolls and then you put them in the kitchen and you teach them how to sew and to cook and to, you know, set the table and take care of their dads and their brothers and the household. And so it's part culture, but it's part biology, it's part society, right? So when women are so conditioned in these roles, and I will say there is absolutely nothing wrong with being a domestic goddess and then being a corporate go-getter, right? And being able to create that balance and have that balance. But how many of us really succeed at it all, right? And how many of us have all the balls juggling at the same time, and the wheels turning at the same time, and yet at the end of the day, we feel defeated, we feel stressed, we feel like, is this worth it? Was this worth all the sacrifice? Was this worth my wife or my husband, my relationship? Was this worth my children's well-being? Was this worth putting off that ever so amazing, exotic, or whatever type of vacation or vacations that you want or would have loved to take every year? And so the demand for and the call for equity in terms of our views is going to be of utmost importance, right? I believe. Now, I don't think, and don't get me wrong, I do believe change is occurring, and I do believe change will continue to come about. When we think about the glass ceiling for men and women, and how that double standard can begin to start looking like one big fat line together, right? Hand in hand. Because roles as much as males and men have been conditioned and they're the providers and they're the security, you can lose a male in a family and you can lose a female in a family or in the relationship, whether it is by breakup, whatever the breakup is, it could be a divorce, whether it is through death, whether it's through sexuality, people, you know, finding and coming in terms with their sexuality and their sexual preference. So it could be for any reason, one person could be missing from that equation. And so in that sense, it makes perfect sense. Do you understand? It makes perfect sense that both men and women understand how to balance both genders within that one kingdom of male, within that one kingdom of female. I was going to say queen because I said the word kingdom. But yeah, so for me personally, it's very important for me to be everything, not in a stressful kind of way, not in a way that says I don't need my husband or I don't need the males in my life, but it is a way to say, I want to learn from you. I want to have that strength as well. I want to understand how this works. I'm going to educate myself. I'm going to be in the know as well. I'm going to be informed. I don't have to keep all the information. I just need to know if and when the time comes, will I be able to stand still on my own two feet? Will I be able to play both genders in several ways within men can still see not females in the work world or even the females at home? They may not see them as the partners that they can really work with. Even in relationships, sometimes we find that men feel like the women's role is simply, or the woman's role is simply to bear the children, raise the family. I'll come home. I'll make the what do you call it, the bacon, and eat it too, or whatever, right? Bring home the bacon and cook it, or have your cake and eat it too, right? Either one, whether it's yes, there has to be an analogy of food. Whether it's bacon or cake, two of the things I really love. I'm thinking about a bacon cake. Then, you know, men don't really necessarily hit that glass ceiling in terms of what's defined as a stumbling block, but it does hold true for women in a lot of ways, right? Now, the other thing I actually want to just touch on, right, is the stereotype of minority women as single parents. It is a stereotype. It's true that there are a lot of single moms that are minorities. But this has more to do with the limitations set in society and economic limitations, and also some of the discrimination and opportunities that have been provided to minorities, right? So it's, you know, minorities that find themselves being a single mom, whether they never got married or they got married and divorced, that also has to do with a lot of other background noise that's going on that caused that situation. And we'll get into that, trust me. We're going to peel all the layers back. We're going to talk work-life balance forever and a day, because whether it is on the Charmaine Show on Blog Talk Radio, whether it's in the books that I'm writing, whether it's in my dissertation, whatever it is, whether it is my career and what I do for work, I believe that we will be constantly peeling the layers, the variables, and discussing work-life balance, because we have to work to live, right? And we have to figure out how do we balance this whole life about us. Even when you're retired, there's something that you're doing. You've got to balance life and you've got to balance work. And when the two are fully balanced, then you create that really nice swing of the pendulum between both, right? So as I was saying, minority women who are being stereotyped as single moms are even at a double disadvantage. A reason I say double disadvantage is because of the word, well, quadruple disadvantage. And I dare say in a lot of cases, their paycheck might be four times less than their counterparts. And even if they're not in the corporate world, the jobs may not be as promising in terms of moving up the corporate ladder, whether it's because, through education or different things like that. So I say quadrupled, right? Because we have the word minority. We have women. We have stereotype. And we have single mom. So if you have a woman that any and all of those words describe, limitations are automatically, even just in how you view that person, those limitations are automatically placed either on the individual themselves by their own self and insecurity because of how they deem society to view them, and also because of how literally society, the workplace, the boss views them. So when you have someone that's provided with less opportunity, they have less of a chance to sort of like rise on up, much less to be equated with a male person who is not a minority. Let's put it this way. I'm going to do the opposite. Who's a white man, and the other word was single, right? So married. So a stereotypical white married male. When the quite opposite of what I describe, a stereotypical minority single mother. All right? So just me saying those two phrases in back-to-back, already, you're already thinking, yeah, you're right. They work harder, these women. They work harder to try to get ahead, feeling that working harder will present them in a better light because, listen, the boss wants me to show that I'm working harder. I have to work literally, physically harder to show that I have good work ethic. So I'm going to just keep working. I'll come in. It's okay if I get paid less, you know, because you know you get paid less, right? And so because I have to prove myself, so I have to work harder. And work harder means I'm the one that has to stay overtime. I'm the one who physically has to produce more of the work. I'm the one who I probably have to skip my lunch break or cut it down. Or if I come back a minute later from my lunch break, I'm looked at as slacking off or being lazy. There's so many stereotypes that we think about. It's not just gender, but that is one. And I just wanted to just sort of bring that example up because I do feel like there is definitely not I feel. Research has shown, let me speak as a doctoral student who's also a blog talk radio show host, right? So research has shown and proven over and over that there is a double standard in work-life balance when it comes to gender. One of the other thing I want to touch on when it comes to gender inequality and balance and how corporations can sometimes see women because they see us as a risk, right? When you hire a woman for a top paying job, an executive position, a leadership position, you can't afford to have the ball drop. And the ball could be dropped anytime if an egg gets fertilized. I mean, geez, she could become pregnant, and that's a risk. What if she can't come in for several days? We do have policies in place that says she can stay out. She can be out sick. She's got a doctor's note. There's nothing you could do. There are other issues involved. Well, she can't go golfing with the big boys, whatever it is. Women are subject to be seen as less desirable candidates in key corporate positions because of that is one risk. Key corporate positions, because that is one risk. How is the company going to run if you have the runner of the company not being able to run it for a certain time? Another thing, we women are emotional. Are they going to make the kinds of decisions that's going to stick? Are they going to be swayed in a room full of suited up males, regardless of color? We're talking gender, right? Are they going to be seen as wives and mothers first and at the bottom of the totem pole when it comes to the providers for their families, but also the very well-equipped person to get the job done? Because let's face it, when a woman has a child, they have to take time off. And in some instances, it's up to 3 months. Some women can request time off. Or sometimes they'll quit their jobs to raise their family because of conflict or because of how much now it will cost if you have a caretaker come in. Is it going to be worth it? And the little bit of difference that that's going to mean, your first-time mom, you might feel like, I want to be home with my child, or even request, I don't want to come into the office, or maybe request whatever I come to sit at the office to do, I'm able to still do it at home, you know, and having to make allowances for that. So the problem is that the new demands and the judgment of women that are expected to achieve better work-life balance really just adds to the spinning plate, and it's going to spin for a while. I think as we go along, we have to begin to take the pieces apart for our own selves, self-reflect, reevaluate, right? Think about what that means to me in my career. Point where you're at, whether you're starting out in your career, whether you're midway through your career, whether you're 10 years away, as myself will be taking early retirement, away from planning your retirement, right? What are you going to do within that time? How will you want to raise up in that space, and what will you do after? So the problem is work-life balance, when you consider it, is intended to mean that it was invented by a guy and will give women time off if we have good behavior. But no, not anymore. Women and men are supposed to be equal, and no double standard when it comes to work-life balance, but it does exist. Thank you for engaging in listening. I sure had fun just talking about the stereotypes and the gender differences in work-life balance. And this is Charmaine on The Charmaine Show on Blog Talk Radio. I'm just saying, go on out there and enjoy the rest of the day.